Your brothers and sisters, good evening. We gather on a night rich in mystery, a night rich in symbol. The last night our Lord lived on earth, a night that he was to give us an everlasting sacrifice. On this night, he himself uses beautiful symbols. He washes the disciples' feet. He calls himself the true vine and them the branches. He talks about the Father's house that he's going to prepare a place for them in. We know that he is surrounded by symbols, the symbols of the Passover, that they had to eat with their loins girt, that they had to eat the lamb roasted, that they had to eat unleavened bread, all as signs that they were prepared to get up and go. Right? These were all fast food signs, right? That it was time to move. We know also that the church today celebrates the beginning of two sacraments and the commemoration of many others. The celebration of the institution of ordination and the priesthood especially, the institution of the Eucharist. And earlier today, the bishop blessed the oil of catechumens, the oil of the sick, and the sacred chrism, which will be used in many of the sacraments. And while the sacraments are more than symbols, they are still symbols. And so as we think about all of these symbols, I want to talk about our Lord's love for that in a second. But first, I want you to also take a moment to picture what that Last Supper was like. I'm going to describe it to you. If it's helpful for you to close your eyes, you can close your eyes to picture it. We know that it was in a house that had a dirt floor over a good portion of it, and then what was called the upper room, which is not a second story room. It's like the sanctuary. It was a little wood platform that was built up so that you were up off the ground. That was the important thing, so that you weren't eating while you were on the ground. And on that platform, they had what was known as a triclinium, a table that looked like a capital C, that kind of went this way and then a long way and then back out. And Jesus was on one of the short ends with two of his disciples, and three disciples were on the other end, and then the rest were lined up in that horizontal part. And it wasn't very tall. So I think like 18 inches off the ground, 12 to 18 inches off the ground. And they didn't sit and they didn't stand, they reclined. It was traditional that you would lay on your left side, propping yourself up off your left elbow, and you would eat with your right hand. And everybody was on one side of that C so that the servers could come up on the inside of it, kind of almost like a hibachi, and serve everybody that was there. Which already, I think, gives us a rather different sense than probably the way we normally picture the Last Supper. And it amuses me a bit now that I don't think I'll ever do this unless I'm really incapacitated. I can't ever imagine celebrating Mass reclining. And yet the first Mass was celebrated with the Lord reclining on his side, right? And all the apostles doing likewise. And they sang, we know that they sang together. And the Lord, in the midst of the meal, took bread, blessed and broken, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body." And with one of the chalices of wine, probably the third, he took it and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is my blood." I want you to picture that first Mass, rich with the symbolism of Passover, powerful with the long teaching of the Lord and the example that he gave in washing their feet. Tense. Because the pressure was building and in a few hours he would be arrested. Tense because Judas flees out in the middle of it to go get the guards. Do you think any of the disciples were complaining that their favorite dish wasn't served during that meal? Do you think any of the disciples were upset that Jesus didn't sing their favorite song? Do you think anyone present said, "I don't really want to stay. I'm used to the place we do this at home, and we're just visiting here, and I don't want to do this," and walked up and left? Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know that I'll be able to put this in the best words tonight because my strength is very, very limited, and my intelligence even more so right now. But as I was praying about the Last Supper, especially in terms of our prayer life, about what the Last Supper should show us in our spiritual life, certainly it shows us the Lord's love for us, the Lord's providence for us, the Lord's presence to us, the desire of the Lord to be with us, the immense charity of the Lord's heart. All of that comes first. But I think there's also a lesson there in the balance that the Lord strikes and continues to strike in every Mass. On the one hand, he does not despise our body, he does not despise our imagination, he does not despise our emotions. Right? He gives us symbols, he gives us ways to connect, he gives us these rich signs so that our natural human imagination, our natural human brain, our natural human flesh can say, "I get it," at least to some extent. We can connect, there's something here. He doesn't ask us to just go meditate on nothingness in the corner. He gives us something to latch on to. But on the other hand, look at what he uses. Bread, wine, oil, all very simple things. We don't hear about any seasonings. We don't hear about any special dishes. We don't hear about any instruments present at the Last Supper for them to play and strum along with. He meets us where we're at, but he wants us to make sure that we don't just stay there. One of the things I had to learn very early as a seminarian, about when I was Roman's age actually, was how to let go of my preferences when it came to Mass and to prayer. To say, look, yeah, there are things that feed me, there are things that I connect with better, there are things that I occasionally need in my spiritual life. But if I don't like organ music and I'm at a parish that does full organ music at every Mass for every weekend, what am I going to do? Just not worship the Lord for the entire summer? If I'm with a priest who doesn't preach the way that I like, and there were one or two, what does that mean? I'm just going to check out a Mass for the entirety of summer? If I was next to guys who I thought cut up or misbehaved at prayer, what was I going to do? Fold my arms and pout and not pray? Dear brothers and sisters, I want to try and strike this balance with you where the Lord does care about our feelings, He does care about our imagination, He does care about our bodies. He doesn't seem to care very much about our preferences. And I cannot tell you how many times I have seen an addiction to preference, an addiction to taste, an addiction to the optional become a major, major roadblock to someone's holiness. I'm going to say something, it's going to upset you. Okay, I'm telling you right now, it's going to upset you. It upsets me. Okay. I'm going to tell you something that I know is upsetting and it's really bad, but I'm using it to make my point. Okay, so can everybody just take a breath and be with me for a second? Okay. Because it's an upsetting thing to hear, especially tonight. It's a very upsetting thing to hear. Oh man, it's like I'm upset even thinking about it. And this happened when I was in 12th grade, which was some time ago, y'all. Okay. So the fact that it stays with me this long. One kid in my class said, and he thought he was having a good idea, said that if they made the Eucharist pizza flavored, more people would come to Mass. Now, after he got up off the ground because I punched him in the face, no, I'm kidding, I didn't do that. You know how horribly sacrilegious that is, right? Everybody is here in agreement with that, yes? Okay, cool. So then let me ask you this. How come people are so comfortable saying, well, if they changed the music, more people would come to Mass? Or if Father preached different, more people would come to Mass? Or if the thermostat was at a different temperature, more people would come to Mass? If we recognize how horrific it is to try and change the flavor of the Eucharist just to meet someone's preference, why aren't we that reverent about the rest of Mass? Because just like the taste of the Eucharist, the Mass is not about gratifying our preferences. It's about worshiping God. It's about worshiping God. And if you don't believe me that preference is a huge enemy to the spiritual life, think about all the people you know who've left the church. And I can tell you that there's one of two reasons you're going to hear the most. A priest upset or hurt me, and I get that. Or number two, I just didn't like it. I like the music here more. I like the community here more. I like the preaching here more. Which meant they were never coming to Mass for God in the first place. But it was always just entertainment with a little bit of Jesus sprinkled on top. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to look at the fact, and I'm going to say this, please, please take this in the way that I mean it. We need to look at the fact that the Lord loves us, but is not in love with us. Okay? The Lord loves us incredibly, deeply, profoundly, but He's not in love with us in a certain way. So let me say what I mean by that. when you're in love with somebody, I mean, at the beginning, I don't mean 40 years into marriage, y'all can all claim you're still in love with each other, whatever, nobody believes you. But whenever you first fall in love with somebody, okay, you do everything they want. You're really in love with somebody, and she's like, I like getting to the movies 15 minutes late because I don't like to know what the story is about. You're like, okay, honey, that's fine. I guess I'll do that too. But when you love somebody and you're not in love with them, you're like, no, you're nuts. We're going to get there on time. And you can always see, and it's something that I didn't understand for a long, long time, that when you love somebody and you're not in love with them, you can sit there, and all of you have experienced this, I'm sure. I had a rough youth, and so this kind of came as a revelation to me, but I'm sure all of you know this. You can sit there, and they can just be yammering about everything they want to do, and you neither do what they're telling you to do, nor do you throw them out of the room. Okay, I never understood that. I really never understood that as a kid. I was like, either do what they're asking you, or tell them to be quiet. I never understood that. But when you really love somebody, you're just like, whatever, just go on, I'm kind of ignoring you, it's fine, I'm still here. Okay. I think that's how Jesus loves us. I know this may come as some surprise to you, but I did not put in a request to have a sinus infection for Holy Week this year. I didn't like fold that up and send it in a letter to Santa. Okay. Not my preference. And the Lord quite evidently said what?
Okay.
I know that there are many things in our lives where we're like, Lord, why did you let this happen? And Lord, like, I'm still here. I still love you. This is not a punishment. I'm not mad at you. I'm not trying to get you. But I'm also not going to spoil you. And I'm not going to give you every little thing that you want because that's bad for you and it's bad for our relationship. Because you start to use me instead of love me. Guys, let me ask you this. When you see a young man fall in love with a woman, and he does everything she asks, how many of you think that that's cute? Raise your hand. Be honest. Raise your hand. It's cute. Raise your hands. Be honest. Now, if you saw the same dynamic 30 years later, how many of you would think it's cute? This starts to look abusive, doesn't it? Be honest with me. It starts to look abusive, doesn't it? And if we just treated Jesus as our genie to answer all our wishes and make Mass exactly the way we wanted and make worship fit our preferences perfectly, there wouldn't be any love there. There wouldn't be any love there. I hope all this has sunk in. I hope all this is making sense to you because I know I'm like 15 miles in the air right now. I'm up there with Artemis too, okay? But I need you to hear that. The Lord loves us enough to meet us where we're at. And He loves us enough to not give in to every one of our preferences. God bless you all.